And we can think of Yeoman as basically being a file generator. If you're a Rails person, you might think of that as being equivalent to, say, your Rails new My Project, right? If you're a .NET person, your file new project, and then selecting, say, MVC application or something like that. But in the Node world, you can't have that kind of stuff built into the tool, right? There's got to be an NPM package for that. So the NPM package that's commonly used for that is Yeoman. And how many of you remember the Yeoman Lightning talk from a couple of years ago? It was about a year and a half ago. If you were here, you remember it because it was epic. I'm going to cover this here because Steve did a really good job of launching Yeoman and kind of describing it. And what I'm going to go into is talking a little bit about how to actually make them. So I'm going to let Steve do a little bit on what these are. I really didn't think I could beat that for an introduction to Yeoman. So it makes sense just to keep that. So let's talk about if you wanted to make one of these for your own. Because from the very beginning of time, whenever developer Foo talked to developer Barr and said, look, I wrote this C application. It says hello. Developer Barr, of course, said, you can't do that. You need to say hello world. It's much more clear. And I'm going to write a book about it, and everybody's going to do it till the end of time. Right? So you, of course, can do something better than what somebody else did. Or, hey, you work inside of an organization, you've got standards, you've got your own classes that you've built, you've got your own toolkit, you don't do file new project and use the stuff that's out of the box. You've got your own sets of libraries that you always pull in, your own sets of configuration that you always have. Whenever you make a controller inside of your application, you've got your own base classes and your own set of configuration, and every time you're doing kind of the same thing. So you can kind of build these tools up to help you along the way to help do that generation. So go ahead, minimize that. That is my copy-paste cheat sheet. Because it is a lightning talk, I don't have that much time. All right. So the first thing we're going to do is to make a folder for this thing. And the way this works is if you're going to make a Yeoman generator, there's a naming convention for it. It's basically called generator dash and then the name of your generator. So if we're going to do one here, we'll call this generator, SimJS demo. We'll change directory into that. And once we're inside of there, this is a Node project. So in order to get started with it, we need ourselves a package JSON. Really quickly, and you'll see the name of it steals it from the directory. So we've got the name of this package is generator SimJS demo. That's great. That follows that naming convention for us. And we have a dependency on the Yeoman generator package inside of our app. So we're going to install, save that dependency, Yeoman generator. So that's going to go out and pull in effectively the core set of libraries that the Yeoman generator is built on. So you're going to use these tools to hook in and make your own generator. I was kind of expecting that part to go a little bit faster. There we go. All right. So other things that a generator needs besides that dependency is there's a convention around the folder structure for it. So inside of your generator, there is a dependency on having a folder called app. It actually doesn't have to be app. If you don't use app, there's a way to configure it so that it can be the name of your generator. But app works by default. Inside of app, it's going to look for an index.js file. That's going to be, you can think of that as your void main void, right? That's the starting point, the entry for your application. So it's going to assume that unless some other configuration is specified, we're going to look in the app folder for an index.js, and that's where the starting...
That's not an app folder.
Yeah, index... Yes, you're absolutely right. Thank you. So I'm going to do it without doing CD, just because you said that. All right. The other thing that is conventional is inside of the app folder. Is a templates folder. So that basically, you can use that. This is going to be a generator. Right. So if you're generating an application, it makes sense that somewhere inside of your application, you're going to have things that are the template, the archetype, if you will, for what is your application going to look like. That's where this stuff's going to get stored. So let's get started with that. That index.json, I bumped that up a little bit. All right. Start off with use strict, because if you don't use strict, you're kind of a jerk. So we'll do our exports on this is. Are you asking that, Mike? Strict. So this is the package that we depended on before. And whoops, I did not actually want to do that. There we go. We're going to take and do pull a class out of there and derive our own effectively. So we're extending a class. Let me go ahead and grab the constructor out of my copy-paste buffer. All right, so that effectively is the minimum amount of stuff that you need to make a generator. Of course, it's not very useful because that just kind of gets you started with a framework of the things that are required. If you actually want to do something inside of it, there are a whole series of functions that are called in a particular sequence. So let me go and pull in a bunch of those. We'll talk about those. There is a generator for the generator. Whoever asked that? If you go and look in the generator repository on Yeoman, there is a generator-generator. So such a thing does exist. But it's not very descriptive in describing how these things are put together. So if you're looking at that in sequence here, you've got an initializing where you might want to set up any variables or dependencies that you have. You have this area for prompting. If you've used these before, you can see, or in Steve's video, you saw it asked a whole bunch of questions before it went ahead and fired off the generator. That's where that happens, is you can ask the user, hey, do you want to include this library? Do you want to include sample files, right? A whole bunch of different options you can put in there. And then inside of configuring is generally the place where you might save the information from that prompting for later use. Writing is where your code generation typically occurs, where you're going to move things from your template into your destination. Conflicts, where you would resolve any issues that have arisen from you're writing the files and you've run this generator before, right? Sometimes these files collide. Conflux gives you a chance to handle that programmatically instead of necessarily kicking it back to the user. Install. Inside of the install section, if you're doing this as creating, let's say, a node app, you've got a package JSON and a whole bunch of dependencies, or you've got some Bower JSON or something like that. Inside of install, there's a section where you can basically launch off and call npm install, or you can call Bower install. There's a function that wraps them both for install dependencies, right? So that at the end of your installer, whenever you run it, can kick that off and start doing all of the installation. And in the end, what I've seen end used for mostly is prompting the user with some sort of information about what their next steps are, right? So if you're generating a web app, for instance, and in the end, in order to see the web app, you would start that up by doing a gulp run or a npm server or something like that. Then you would put inside of that end function a console log, or there's a utility called yosay that puts up that little yeoman guy with the speech bubble coming out of his mouth. So inside of end, you would basically tell the user what are their next steps based off of running your generator. So let's, I'm going to put a couple of logs in here. Try to make this as quick as possible. I removed the function on this one. That's not handy. Actually, let me speak to that in just a second. So one of the things that you can do here is these things by default take a function. And you can see for most of these are set up that way. Inside of the writing, it's just a block. So you can actually pass in an object literal that contains more methods, like so we'll do something like that. Right, so now we basically have the core parts of what the generator is. So if we want to make a folder for it. Did I really misspell make dir? Demo yo. Okay, bump this up. All right. And the trick here is that whenever you do a yo and you launch out to the generator, it's going to look through all of your globally installed npm packages and find all of the generator dash things in order to locate which ones we're going to install. Well, that one that we have on the file system isn't in our globally installed generators, so there's a little bit of a developer time shortcut you can use to do npm link with dot, which gives you the current folder. So what that does is effectively adds our current folder into that list of things that are searched for whenever you're doing a global search for packages. And then we can do yo. Did call it semjs demo, didn't I? Womp, 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 womp. Try that again. Take two. See where the next one is. All right. So now you can see that those things are called in the order they're called in. If we go in and manipulate that index.jx file, say we move, configuring down to change its order, run it again. All right, you can see it's not going to move. Those ones are fixed. They're always going to occur in that order. So the other part that is a little bit manipulatable is between configure and writing. There's a section that's basically called default. Whatever method you put inside of that index.js file, if those property or functions do not start with an underscore, then they will get stuffed in between first and second in the order that they occur in the file, right? That's usually something you want to manage. Right, so you probably want to take those outside of that module exports and make those local and call those things inside of one of the predefined ones. I think it makes more sense. The other piece that's relevant to that is eventually, as you get to be a little bit more advanced in your Yeoman generators, a Yeoman generator can call another Yeoman generator to do some work as well, right? Some of those might be submodules inside of yours. We had that app folder. If you create another folder, that can be a submodule where if you think of, say, like Rails new, there may be a section where you want to add a controller, right? So you can take those pieces and chain these things together so that they work well. All right, so we've got that part going. Let's go ahead and set up we're just going to do a package JSON for our output. So in order to do that, let me go back over to my copy-paste buffer. I'm going to steal this and go inside a prompt. Make some notes on what we have here. Whoop. All right, so we're grabbing a variable to this.async. That is something that is required by the framework. If you do not grab this done variable and inside of the callback for the prompts completed called done, what will end up happening is the generator will basically abort at the prompting stage and will exit right there. It will not finish that step. So definitely need to grab that and call done whenever it's completed. The binding of this is a little interesting so that, you know, the on these callbacks, this wouldn't come from the same context, so you need to bind this to it so that it's in the same context for grabbing configuration and stuff inside of the nested functions. So what we're doing here is we're going to prompt the user. There's some of them that are a type input. It's app name. The variable is app name, and then we're stuffing it inside of configuration. The reason we're stuffing it inside of configuration is if you want to use it later in a submodule, you can later get back and do a config.get in order to pull that variable back out so you don't have to reference it many different times, and then continue moving on. So now we'll go inside of our copy-paste buffer, and we're going to make a file inside of our templates. Which one are we on here? Where are we at? Okay. So I created this file with an underscore in its name. That is a convention for if you are doing something that is a template that you're not doing a direct copy of, convention inside of Yeoman, it's just one of the idioms that is followed by that practice, is to use the underscore, like package.json in this particular case. So when you move it from one folder to the other, if you just do a file system copy instead of a copy with template, that you have that flag as an indicator there to say, whoops, we skipped that template step. So they force that to be kind of, or they don't force that. It's a kind of a convention to do that so that you don't accidentally just copy the file over without running the templates. Inside of our writing phase, let's stuff that inside of the writing first part. We're going to grab the file system object from this. We're going to do a copy TPL, which is copy using a template. Pass in a template path and a destination path. Those are variables that are available to us. We're going to say copy from underscore package JSON to package JSON, and then all of the variables that you're going to pass to that. So app name, we got inside of our prompting, and we're going to substitute that in any particular location inside of our package JSON. That template is in EJS format, so it's going to go ahead and grab that and do that substitution. So go back to here. Boom. What did I miss here? Pardon? There we go. Man. Boom, boom, boom. I can see them as doubles. Oh, 37. You're right. I see you. I see it. How about we match them up? That happened because I dropped them into TextEdit as my copy-paste buffer. All right. So, let's see, our awesome app. You can see that noted that we were doing a create of package JSON. You can see here that there is a file there. We cat package JSON. We use that template that we created to substitute inside of our awesome app. So it's relatively easy, effectively, to create your own file new project, your own Rails new, to customize your own implementation. So that's all I have, and we'll move on.